When Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, in Matthew 6:21, he wasn't just talking about money. He was exposing something deeper about us all. Hi, I'm Rob West. Our financial decisions, priorities, and fears don't merely reflect our budgets. They expose the condition of our hearts. Today, we'll discuss how our money issues are really heart issues. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Many see money as just a neutral tool to earn, spend, save, or give. But Scripture shows that money has far more power than we realize. It can shape our desires, test our trust, and reveal what we truly worship. This is why financial struggles, whether greed, debt, anxiety, or even generosity, are ultimately heart struggles. When we overspend to maintain a certain lifestyle, is it because we find our identity in our possessions? When we obsess over financial security, is it because we trust our bank account more than we trust God? When we hesitate to be generous, is it because we're driven by fear, believing there won't be enough? Money acts as a spiritual thermometer, revealing our faith and priorities. Jesus spoke so often about wealth, not to condemn it, but to caution us against its deceptive power. He knew that money has a unique way of drawing our hearts away from God. One of the clearest biblical examples of money as a heart issue is the story of the rich young ruler in Mark 10. This man approached Jesus with great enthusiasm, asking what he must do to inherit eternal life. Outwardly, he had claimed to have kept all of the commandments, but Jesus saw his heart. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." The young man walked away in sorrow because his wealth owned his heart. He wanted eternal life, but not at the cost of his riches. His struggle wasn't financial, it was a matter of worship, revealing which God he had chosen to serve. John Calvin once wrote, "The human heart is an idol factory. We all have things we cling to, believing they will provide life, security, or happiness. The rich young ruler's story forces us to ask, what would make us walk away from Jesus? If money is that thing, then our money isn't just a resource, it's a rival to God. For some, the battle isn't greed, but fear. Many of Jesus' teachings on money are directed at those who worry about having enough. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, he tells his followers not to be anxious about food, drink, or clothing, reminding them that God cares for the birds and the flowers, and he will certainly provide for his children. Worrying about money isn't just a financial issue, it's a matter of trust. When we believe our well-being depends entirely on our ability to earn, save, or invest, we carry a weight we were never meant to bear. Jesus calls us to trust God's provision and seek His kingdom first. This doesn't mean we shouldn't budget or plan wisely, but it does mean that financial anxiety often reveals a deeper struggle with trusting God. If money is a heart issue, then generosity, or the lack of it, reveals what's inside. The early church in Acts was marked by radical generosity, with believers selling possessions to meet each other's needs. Why? Because their hearts had been transformed by the gospel. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Every faculty you have is given you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to His service, you could not give Him anything that was not, in a sense, His own already." You see, true generosity flows not from obligation, but from a heart that recognizes everything belongs to God. Do we see money as ours to control or as God's to steward? Do we give joyfully or do we resent it? Our attitudes toward generosity reflect what we truly believe about God's provision. Since money issues are heart issues, the solution isn't just financial literacy, as important as that is. It's heart transformation. If we want our hearts to align with God's when it comes to money, here are a few truths to remember. Recognize that money is a test of trust. Do we truly believe God will provide? Practice gratitude. Discontentment fuels financial anxiety, while gratitude shifts our focus to what God has already provided. Give generously. The act of giving loosens money's grip on our hearts and reorients our trust toward God. And seek first the kingdom. When we prioritize God's purposes over financial gain, we experience the peace money can never provide. In the end, how we handle money reveals what we treasure most. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
The storms of life can feel overwhelming. Difficult moments that leave us feeling like the disciples of Jesus in that boat, afraid, wondering if he knows or cares we're struggling in the storm. And while he doesn't promise to keep us from the storm, he does promise to be with us in it. Listen to Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. So, you see, the trials will come, yes, but they will not overcome. Because when you belong to Jesus, no matter the storm, he will never let you go. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, we started with the biblical worldview of money management, understanding that money issues are heart issues, and that really is the foundation to everything that we do. But we want to build on top of that, because once we put money in its proper place, a tool to accomplish God's purposes, a good gift, but not an end, a means to an end, realizing that God is our provider, not anything else, then we move into making daily financial decisions out of that perspective. And it should change everything, not only how we build our budget and allocate our resources, but how we invest for the future, and even how we look at the markets. And obviously, the market under a lot of pressure. We saw a massive sell-off yesterday on the heels of the clarity around the reciprocal tariffs that the president announced earlier this week, 2 days ago in the Rose Garden after the close of the market. The market down significantly yesterday. Today, that sell-off continues. The Dow down more than 1,200 points here at the open, down another 3%, the S&P 500 off 3.5%, the NASDAQ really getting hurt badly in all of this, down another nearly 4%. And this is on the heels of China coming back with some retaliatory tariffs of their own. President Trump is has some strong remarks this morning for Beijing, saying that they've panicked and they're not in a position to do so. Keep in mind, they really never recovered following the COVID pandemic. Their economy has really been struggling, largely in the real estate sector. They have challenges demographically, much bigger than ours. And as a result, their economy has been sluggish at best. And so now with this 34% retaliatory tariff on all goods imported from the U.S., it's the beginning of what the market is seeing is more uncertainty and the prospects growing of a full-out trade war, which, you know, could extend beyond China. We'll get more information from President Trump, I'm sure, throughout the day. He's been tweeting this morning. We did have a good jobs number in the midst of all of this. U.S. payrolls rose by 228,000 in March. That was well ahead of estimates. The employment rate, unemployment rate, notched up to 4.2% off of an expected 4.1%. But overall, a really good jobs number, which indicates that at least based on the print last month, and we are looking in the rearview mirror on this. This is not, you know, real time data, but it's only a month old. The economy is still chugging along pretty well. The question is, you know, how are we going to see businesses respond to the tariffs? Are they going to begin to pull back? Are we going to see some contraction both in spending for capital expenditures and hiring? What's going to happen with domestic companies that have a large part of their business where they sell overseas? All of that remains in question. The bigger idea is, what is President Trump's ultimate end game on this? Good news, Jerry Boyer will be by in our final segment of the broadcast today to weigh in on all this. We'll get Jerry's take on free trade, how we look at that through a biblical lens. We'll get Jerry's update on the current economic data here in the U.S., including this jobs report, and just his general thoughts on the heels of the reciprocal tariffs, what President Trump called Liberation Day just 2 days ago. So all that ahead in our final segment today. But in the meantime, want to take your calls and questions. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got lines open for you. In fact, several of them. So this would be a great time to go ahead and get your call in the queue, and we'll get you on the air quickly. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in New Hampshire. Hi, Christy. Chrissy, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you. My husband and I are looking for programs to help me either pay off my school loans faster or lower the interest. Yeah. My husband is the only one working full time. We have a 6-year-old daughter I'm going to be homeschooling, and I'm on a based on income repayment plan right now.
So I certainly understand that, and obviously we want to get those paid off as soon as possible. The challenge is that any kind of refinancing with a private lender, Chrissy, is going to eliminate the option that you're taking advantage of right now, which I assume, you know, is something you're happy to have, and that is the income-based repayment. Because when your income, you know, is under pressure, you know, those normally scheduled payments can be a challenge. And one of the benefits of the federal loan program is that you have the option of that income-based repayment. So you would lose that alongside the other federal benefits like loan forgiveness and deferment and forbearance options if you were to refinance. So I would not recommend that just based on what I'm hearing here. The challenge is there really isn't a way to get that interest rate down apart from refinancing privately. And even then, depending on your credit and so forth, you may not be able to get it down. Any kind of consolidation of federal loans really doesn't offer any interest rate reduction. It just kind of puts it all into one loan, and then it could extend the term if you're not careful. So where do you go from here? Well, unless you're, you have a loan forgiveness program that's applicable here, and I didn't hear that, then really the only other options I would say would be, number one, you can look for a modest benefit in the form of an interest rate reduction, perhaps 0.25%. by going on a automatic payment. You'd have to enroll in an auto payment. If you did that, you could see about a quarter point drop. You could check into that with your servicer. Beyond that, I would just be looking for opportunities to keep your income modest, your spending modest. So anytime you have extra spending, so long as you have an emergency fund already in place, you know, you could apply that directly to the principal. You know, if you have any side income or you get an unexpected, you know, tax refund or your husband gets a bonus. Again, as long as you don't have other high interest consumer debt like credit card debt that you're carrying, or you haven't gotten to 3 months expenses, if either of those are in play, I would say those are priority. But beyond that, you could use, you know, any extra money to put alongside here. The only other option, and if you're not working, this probably doesn't apply, but some employers offer student loan repayment assistance as a benefit. But listen, you know, I love that you're homeschooling. I think that's amazing. And, you know, this is a season where you just may need to accept the fact that these loans are going to be around for a little while. The key would be, as his income goes up, you know, for you all to keep your lifestyle in check so that you can apply that extra income to things that really are important to you. And I would assume that this, you know, debt reduction here on these student loans would be one of those high priorities. And so I'd go after them in that way. Does that all make sense, though?
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right, Chrissy, we appreciate your call. I wish I had kind of a silver bullet here. Unfortunately, it's just more of a sure and steady approach. Just stay at it over time. Continue to make headway as you can. And let's try to get off that income-based repayment as you're able to, because that would allow you to get more going to principal reduction. Lord bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got lines open today. We'd love to tackle your financial questions. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to New Mexico. Hi, John. How can we help?
Yes. Certainly, my question was related to whether or not these tariffs are going to have a long-term effect in light of the, I guess, nearly $5 trillion loss of value in the market.
Yeah, it's a great question. John, I'd love to weigh in on that with my thoughts. And then, of course, we'll come back to that at the end of the program with Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. We'll get his take on it as well. I've got to hit this break, but we'll tackle this just around the corner. You're welcome to stay there and we can engage further, or you can just listen in. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Our Weekend with AFA event in October is going to be a chance to meet AFA supporters in person. It will be an opportunity for staff and supporters to share interests and insights face-to-face. I'm sure it will be encouraging for both groups.
You could be a part of our first ever Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. We'll have tours, fellowship, special speakers, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
The recent tornado outbreak has devastated so many people in the Midwest and the South. 8 Days of Hope is ready to deploy their rapid response ministry to Cave City, Arkansas and Tylertown, Mississippi from March 20th to April 5th in order to help those impacted restore what's been destroyed. If you're 18 or older, you can help. Visit 8daysofhope.com to find out how you can volunteer. This is an urgent need. Visit 8daysofhope.com today.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. The Dow Jones here at the open, continuing the sell-off from yesterday. The Dow off 1,288 points at the moment. That's a little better than 3% down. The S&P 500 off 3.75%. The NASDAQ off nearly 4%. And that's the second day of a big sell-off on fears that President Trump has ignited a global trade war. We'll get more on that from Jerry Boyer ahead. But John asked a great question from New Mexico before the break. He said, will these tariffs have a long-term effect on the economy as a whole? Will there be pockets of our country that are safe from it? And what about this big market sell-off? And it's a great question, John. And, you know, we really don't know, you know, the long-term impact of this, because we don't know how long these tariffs will be in place. Is this really a long-term strategy where the president sees these, you know, staying around for a while at these levels, which were higher than many expected when he announced the reciprocal, what he's calling the reciprocal tariffs 2 days ago? Or are these really a starting point, perhaps a high watermark used for negotiation, and they're going to quickly come off? You know, we just don't know the answer to that. And a lot of that's going to have, you know, everything to do with what kind of erosion it has and impact it has on what is really, for all intents and purposes, a still pretty strong and robust economy. Even though, you know, most economists acknowledge that the economy is slowing, we still have a very strong economy, as evidenced by just the recent job print from this morning, from last month, better than expected job numbers. The U.S. payrolls rising by, you know, 228,000 in March. That was well ahead of estimates. Now, what will be the impact of these tariffs, you know, if they remain? Well, you know, typically, you know, tariffs are going to target consumer goods. And, you know, that's going to lead to higher input costs, which, you know, is going to put, you know, more pressure back on inflation, which we've already, you know, have some sticky inflation that has not returned to the Fed's target of 2%. So with elevated inflation levels, could these, you know, sustained tariffs, if that's what we have, and again, we don't know, could that shift inflation higher while we wait for domestic production to ramp up to replace imports at competitive prices? We'd have to watch and see that. You know, ultimately, what he's trying to do is really to protect and, you know, really incentivize domestic industries, you know, by making foreign goods less competitive and trying to level the playing field, which you can't argue with that. I don't think that, you know, we need a level playing field. And to the extent the largest economy in the world has been taken advantage of, and you can see that through our trade imbalances and the tariffs that other countries place on us, you know, there are real implications to that with regard to major industries that have, you know, shifted overseas, the automobile, steel, and others, not to mention, you know, some of our farming industries. And so, you know, this really is around, you know, protecting the U.S., but we also need to see what impact it's going to have on our trade relationships externally, and then ultimately longer term on economic growth. So there's a lot that still, you know, needs to be understood. And, you know, we're still very early in this. We're 2 days into the announcement of these retaliatory tariffs. Now, I think to your point, though, John, about the markets, and we'll talk to Jerry Boyer about this a little later in the broadcast as well, we've got to put this all in context. You know, the Dow Jones is down pretty sharply these last 2 days. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's pretty rough. But if you put it kind of into a historical context, you know, it was just April of 2023 that the Dow was at 33,400. And then by December of 2024, it hit 44,000. That's a gain of 32% over 20 months. So despite this current pullback from 44,000 down to 39, you know, two, we're still up, 18% from 2 years ago. I think we've got to factor all of that in. Similarly with the S&P 500, April of 2023, it was at 4,100. By February 2025, from 4,100 all the way up to 6,100. That's a 50% gain in 20 months. Now, you put the, 12%, 13% correction on it, you know, we're still up 30%, from 2 years ago. I'm not talking 10 or 20 years. I'm talking about from 2 years ago. You start to look kind of post-COVID crash, the Dow is at 21,000. We forget that. So it went from 21,000 to 44,000, just in 4 years. That's 110% gain. So, when we log into our IRAs and our 401ks, we don't like to see it down 10% or more. But I think we've got to put it in this broader context of we've been in a raging bull market. And what President Trump is trying to usher in here is a shift from the public to the private markets to incentivize American, the economy, production, manufacturing, shore up and focus on the American worker, deregulate, lower taxes, try to create a really pro-growth environment. Could there be some pain? Will there be? Yeah, we're experiencing it. You know, could it be prolonged? Absolutely. But anyway, hopefully those are just some thoughts for you to think about and consider as we continue to watch how this is going to play out. And keep in mind, it's still very early, and a lot of this is going to play out not only with the president, but congressional leaders are going to get involved in the conversation quickly as well. John, I hope that's helpful. Thanks for your call. Be sure to listen to Jerry Boyer when he stops by here in a couple of segments from now. We'll get his take on this also. Let's go to Ohio. Hi, Dave. How can I help?
Yes, sir, Rob.
Hi there.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, first I want to thank you for your ministry. We listen to it all the time, and your wealth of knowledge is incredible. But just a quick question. My daughter's husband has passed away. She has received his life insurance payment, and she's concerned that she'll have to pay income taxes on that. I don't think she will, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There would be taxes. Death benefits proceeds are tax-free as a general rule. And so that is not subject to federal income tax, and that applies to both term and permanent life insurance. So the only exception to that would be if there's interest earned on the proceeds, or if there's estate taxes. But again, for most people, that's not an issue either if you have an estate under $13 million. I've got to take a break, but we'll talk more off the air. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
In Denver, Colorado, Jamie Sanchez obeyed the Lord's call and opened the Drip Cafe to create jobs to help unhoused people get back on their feet. Of course, the LGBTQ community began persecuting him for his Christian beliefs. His inspiring story of standing boldly for God's truth in the face of great opposition is part of our Impact Series, and we'll send you the DVD as our thanks for your gift to AFA. Visit afa.net/spiritualwar. afa.net/spiritualwar.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. If you have a financial question today on any topic, we'd love to get you in on the conversation. Debt repayment, long-term investments, in light of this heightened market volatility. I guess that's an understatement, just given what's going on in the markets the last couple of days. Maybe it's paying down not only your debt, but staying on budget. Whatever it might be today, we'd love to have you get in on the conversation. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to be able to hear from you right now. In fact, let's go right back to the phones to Texas. Hi, Becky. How can I help?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate you so much. So my deal is that I'm retired, and I've been renting a home for a long time. And so my family, along with myself, we invested in the home and purchased it. So they put in $25,000. I put in $25,000. However, I didn't choose to put my name on the deed at the time in the title because I was dealing with the IRS. But that has all been cleared. And now I would like to add my name because I am a senior citizen. I can get the senior citizen discount as well as for tax purposes, so, because I pay everything. I pay, since I've been in the home, I paid the mortgage, the property taxes, and the insurance. So how do I add my name to the title and deed?
Yeah, it's a great question. So who's currently on the deed?
My son-in-law.
Okay. All right. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so you're going to want to get a real estate attorney just to help you. This is a very simple process. It can be done through a quit claim deed. I'm not an attorney, but I'll just talk to you kind of generally about this. I mean, the quit claim deed is the most common tool for adding someone. It basically transfers whatever interest the current owner has without any warranties, and it's, you know, ideal if they're willing to add you. And so you would have to decide how you want to hold the title. So you could have joint tenants with right of survivorship, which is basically where you have equal shares. And then if one owner dies, their share goes to the other. You could own it in tenants in common, which is unequal shares are allowed, doesn't have to be, but you would decide what percentage each person owns. And then your shares pass to or your share. Your interest, whatever that percentage is, passes to your heirs, not the co-owners at death. And then you would want to, you know, get the form, you'd get the quit claim deed form. You could do it yourself from the county recorder's office or online, but I'd encourage you to get an attorney just to draft it up for you. It gets signed. You know, the attorney can, you know, make sure that there's no mistakes, make sure it's done right, and then file the deed with the county.
and then that would update the records. In terms of consideration, I mean, normally if somebody quit claim deeds a property to someone else, it's considered a gift. And although, you know, you would chip away at the lifetime gift exemption, still wouldn't be taxable because you have a lifetime exemption of $13 million. But if you've essentially contributed to the purchase and the mortgage payments, you know, you could prevent this from being considered a gift if the ownership interest reflects the value of your contributions. And so you could, again, talk to an attorney and or a CPA or both just about how all of this would work. But essentially, you know, you'd determine the fair market value of the home, and then you'd count up all your payments, the down payment, the mortgage principal and interest, possibly the improvements. And then, you know, you would agree, you know, on your percentage of ownership, and potentially all or some of it could be offset by the money you've already put in. And then you would just execute the, you know, the quit claim deed, and then everything would be recorded properly. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it. What I understand, too, is that the current mortgage company could ask that everything be paid in full. Is that true?
Yeah, so what is that? Whose name is on that?
His name as well.
Okay, yeah, his name only. Yes. So, you know, that is something to look at, because, you know, it ties into a potential clause in the mortgage called due on sale, which could, you know, complicate adding your name to the title. And so you would need to check with your mortgage company first. They have the discretion to enforce it, but there are exceptions to that. And so, you know, the lender would, you know, really have the choice on how that happens. So they would certainly have to approve the change. And so I would be in contact with them, explain your contributions and request permission to add you to the title. They may ask for your financial info and credit score and so forth. And so they, you know, may deny or call the loan. So you'd obviously want to know that ahead of time. So I think, you know, the key would be to get written permission by letter stating that they won't enforce the due on sale clause to protect you legally. And then the alternative would be you'd have to refinance.
Right, which at this current rate is a lot. Back then it was 3.5, now it's more.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, so you wouldn't want to do that now. So I think your best option would be to start with the mortgage company and just let them know what you all are intending to do and see if they'd be willing to allow you to do that. And then again, get that in writing.
Okay, thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate you being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to have Jerry Boyer stop by in the next segment. We'll get Jerry's take on the market sell-off, which is accelerating. The Dow was off 1,200 points at the open, now down another 1,400 points. So the Dow Jones off 3.5%. NASDAQ off about 4.5%. So we're still seeing this market sell off largely because of China's response, imposing 34% retaliatory tariffs on all goods imported from the U.S. That came out overnight from the minister there in China as a result of President Trump's tariffs put in place, or at least announced 2 days ago. And we'll get Jerry's take on that straight ahead. Let's tackle a couple of emails here while we have a moment. These come into us all the time at askrob@faithfi.com. We try to get to them when we can. Melanie writes, is there a way I can consolidate my debt without hurting my credit? Melanie, it's a good question. You know, consolidating your debts into one would involve taking out a new loan of some kind or opening a new credit card account to transfer the balances. In order to do this, your credit will be affected negatively because you've opened a new loan. You know, typically that inquiry, you know, will cause a temporary drop. It would typically come back. But even if it didn't hurt your credit, I would encourage you not to focus on consolidation as the method of repayment that's best. You know, typically what I see is when you're looking to consolidate the debt, it may be in part to get a lower interest rate, and you may be able to do that. But often two things happen. Number one is you push out the repayment period, which just means that any savings from a lower interest rate is often negated by a longer payback. And then secondly, usually it takes the pressure off because maybe the monthly payment drops. or at least you just feel better about it because it's at a lower interest rate. And it just results in you, and I'm just talking generally here, this is just what I've seen, you don't do the hard work to really correct the problem that led to the debt in the first place. And so what I'd rather is we start with the budget, we dial back spending, we get to a place where you have margin. And then with regard to getting those interest rates down, I would use a debt management program like the one offered by our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'll lower the interest rates, combine the payments into one. You'll pay through Christian Credit Counselors. It's going to help you pay off your debt 80% faster. Again, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. A quick break. Back with Jerry Boyer and your calls after this.
What began as the world's darkest night gave way to its brightest day. I'm talking about how the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ turned our upside-down world right side up. I'm David Wolin. Join me all week on Haven Today with author and pastor Marty Machowski in a series called Turning the World Right Side Up.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on a Friday, April the 4th. Well, another day of the market sell-off following what President Trump called Liberation Day when he announced the details of his retaliatory or what he called reciprocal, I should say, tariffs on April the 2nd. Big sell-off yesterday and now day number 2 on the heels of China indicating they will impose a 34% retaliatory tariff on all goods imported from the U.S. Difference is China's in a much different place economically than we are, and yet this escalation has caused a second day of sell-offs. As I speak here, the Dow Jones down another 1,600 points, just shy of 4%. The NASDAQ off about 5.25%. We'll get to all of that here in a moment with Jerry Boyer. By the way, Jerry, our resident economist, is with us today. He's traveling. We're catching him in the Denver airport, but we're grateful for his time. Also here, Walker Wildman from the American Family Association. And gentlemen, we're going to come back to the markets in a moment, but let's start with corporate engagement. And I know a lot of great things happening with AFA and really expressing Christian values in the boardrooms of some of the biggest companies in the United States. Walker, why don't we start with you and let you give us an update?
Yeah, good to be on with you guys, Rob and Jerry. The next thing that we're working on, you know, in recent months, Jerry and I have talked about several corporations that we've been working on, but the most recent one is PayPal. And the reason we're putting a shareholder proposal before PayPal is because of their coordination with the federal government under the Biden administration to surveil the financial information of private citizens and their customers and share that information with the federal government. This goes back to a congressional report that uncovered, if you will, this coordination. And the reason this is important is because of we've seen basically debanking or deplatforming, depending on which platform you're talking about, of people based on their political viewpoints, based on their religious viewpoints. And we think that's a real problem when people are fearful of losing their bank account because of who they vote for or their Facebook post. We think that's a real problem. So we're asking the board of directors at PayPal to do basically a risk assessment of this type of viewpoint discrimination.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road, no doubt. Jerry, your thoughts on that?
I don't think I can add much to what Walker said. I mean, he's been on top of this a lot, frankly, a lot longer than I have in terms of deplatforming or debanking. I mean, with PayPal, it's not exactly banking, right? It's payment services, but it's cutting you off from being able to do transactions in the marketplace. And it's abuse of power. And by the way, it's against PayPal's original mission. PayPal was supposed to increase liberty, not decrease. It was found, you know, remember who founded PayPal? Two conservative libertarians, Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. I wonder what they think about what's happened to the company that they founded. They founded it to give more freedom to people, basically to not need banks. And then PayPal just became another censoring organization, just another tool of the regime. Now, they might say, well, the feds made us do it, but the feds can't make them do it, right? The feds can't order them to start surveilling people without proper legal authorization, you know, without warrants and the rest of it. And by the way, this surveillance, it wasn't like people who were buying bomb parts here that they were surveilling. It's people who are buying Bibles or shopping at a sporting goods store. They cast this really wide net. So if you're someone who's dealing, you know, giving money to AFA or Alliance Defending Freedom or buying the King James Bibles or something like that, suspicious activity, might be a terrorist, have to surveil these people. That's unbelievably abusive. And PayPal needs to account for even being in that meeting and tell us exactly what they did and tell us why customers and shareholders can be assured in the future that they are never going to become an instrument of the state because they were created to be the opposite. They were created to be a zone of freedom.
Yeah. Walker, I know it's early, but any indications as to whether they're going to be receptive to this?
Well, right now, PayPal is more of a formality. They've opposed the resolution, the shareholder resolution, but that's not uncommon. As Jerry knows, these companies, pretty much their default position is to oppose just because they don't want to have to deal with it. But we'll see where the negotiations go. I mean, maybe they'll come to the table at some point before the meeting in an attempt maybe to get us to remove the proposal. But we're not going to remove it unless there's some serious concessions, including commitments not to engage in this behavior in the future. Because, look, this is extrajudicial. Any type of coordination with federal law enforcement that doesn't have to do with a warrant or with criminal activity is extrajudicial, and it goes against our constitutional principles of due process. And specifically, it's most egregious when we're not talking about human trafficking or child pornography. We're talking about political viewpoints, mainstream political and religious viewpoints that were being flagged by PayPal. So this is a real problem, but we'll continue to monitor it, and Lord willing, we'll be on the ballot coming up at the shareholder meeting.
Jerry, the backdrop on this with regard to the bigger issue of debanking is actually moving in some positive directions, isn't it?
For the most part, yes. For example, Schwab had some similar issues, and they adopted some very good language on being neutral in their business dealings, and they put that out publicly. And for that reason, Walker was willing to withdraw the proposal. This isn't a publicity stunt. This is for change. So if AFA asks the company to do something and the company does it, well, then great. Now, AFA might come back next year and say, well, you're not perfect yet. So let's talk about some other issues. Maybe you don't have maybe you discriminate against Christians in ERGs, or maybe you discriminate against religious organizations in your charitable matching. But, you know, when they deal with the issue, then, you know, AFA has been very reasonable and for the most part has been getting progress. There's a few who just will not budge. We'll see which one PayPal is.
Yeah, very good. Well, Walker, great update on the incredible work of the American Family Association. Keep up the good work, my friend. Jerry, let's talk economics and the markets. Obviously, day two of this big sell-off. If the NASDAQ were to hold these losses, we'd be in bear market territory as the Trump tariff sell-off continues to gain steam on the heels of the overnight announcement from China. Let's just back up for a second and talk about, I mean, I guess the real question is this about a negotiation? Is this about generating more revenues? You know, we've heard $6 or $7 trillion coming into the U.S. because of these tariffs. Is it about bringing manufacturing back? The latter two of those are a longer term play. The first could mean that these come and go pretty quickly if we get, a more level playing field and people come to the negotiating table. What do you just kind of make of what you heard on the 2nd of April, just 2 days ago, and where we find ourselves right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's really odd to hear Republicans and conservatives talking about money, quote, coming in when they're talking about tax hikes. And maybe it's because we use the word tariff rather than tax, but there's sales taxes, right? And there's income taxes, and there's profit taxes, corporate net income, and there's taxes on trade. It's a tax. So the money coming in is not money coming into America. It's money coming from Americans into the federal government. Let's just be clear about that. It's a tax hike. Markets and economies generally don't like tax hikes. And when Democrats do tax hikes, it's bad for the economy. And when Republicans do tax hikes, it's bad for the economy because it's the policy, not the personality and not the rhetoric. So just remember that that's what these are. Now, I understand the president. Look, the president's smarter than I am. I fully acknowledge that. He's president of the United States twice over. And I'm just, you know, Jerry from Little Boy Research in Pittsburgh. I get that. Maybe he's playing some kind of 4D chess. But he's not smarter than all of us. And the market is all of us speaking. And every indicator that I'm aware of growth, stagnation, and inflation is moving in a stagflation direction, every single one. So you mentioned the NASDAQ is off more than the Dow and the S&P. Why? Because that's more growth sensitive. So the fact that the most growth sensitive parts of the economy, tech, are off the most is basically people fleeing. It's the perception that this is going to be bad for growth. Within the stock market, what are we selling less of? There's a move away from growth towards consumer staples. That's a recession hedge. So people are moving their money towards recession hedges. They're selling stocks, but they're buying bonds. Again, bonds are a recession hedge. So across the board, every trade I can find is a move away from growth assets to recession hedge assets, to assets that don't go down as much during a recession. And gold's over $3,100 an ounce. That's a hedge against inflation and even against some, you know, like a currency disaster, like the loss of reserve currency. People are moving from regular treasury bonds to inflation protected treasury bonds. So every trade is a stagflation trade. Now, maybe we're all idiots, all the people who are in the markets, and we don't know, and the president has it all under control. But I tend to trust all of our knowledge gathered together and aggregated in markets more than I trust any expert, including the president and the people around the president, many of whom were not pro-tariff up until they got appointed. And now all of a sudden it's the best thing in the world. So that might be a little job security there. This is not good leadership, in my opinion. I'm a conservative. I'm a lifelong Republican. I know people are going to think I'm a rhino or whatever. You can't criticize the president for anything. All right, I will criticize him. I'll just let the markets criticize him. And they are criticizing him severely.
Jerry, for somebody listening today, and I've just got 30 seconds left, what would be your message just in terms of their long view on the U.S. and the markets and staying invested?
I would stay invested because with all of these problems, we are hurting them more than we're hurting ourselves. And I have a feeling maybe that's the way the calculation is. If China's hurt worse than us, but we're both hurt, you know, maybe we're like both going through chemo together and they'll give in. Okay, I think the U.S. is still the best place to be. And I think markets should stay in markets, but it's volatile. I mean, hang on, this is a bumpy, bumpy ride.
Yeah.
Don't put your trust in money, put your trust in God, but stay invested.
That's well said, Jerry. We always appreciate your take on this. We'll continue the conversation, no doubt. Walker Wildman, Jerry Boyer, I'm Rob West. Thanks for being here today, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.